Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Does God harden your heart, or do you harden it? Who's in control here? This is our conversation on this episode of Inverse. Hello, my name is Justin. And in the studio, we got Jemima and Felicia and Joe. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Greetings. Greetings. Yes, there we go. Greetings to each one of you out there as well, whether you're watching on video or listening on podcast or radio. We want to say hello to you all. And we want to welcome you to comment and leave your feedback on our social media channels. You can look at Inverse Bible, and you can also study with us if you go to inversebible.org. For previous episodes, you can go to hopetv.org/inverse, and we are studying the book of Exodus. There are so many awesome things that we've gone through. It is sad that we can't go through all of it, but we're trying to get to the main themes as much as possible. I think we're not going to be, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, we're not going to go through the entire book of Exodus. We're going through the narrative part, right?
Right.
Because there's a lot of laws in the second half that we just can't get into.
I think we have one lesson on the sanctuary.
Okay, cool. And that's predominantly found in the second half of Exodus. So very good. All right, so hey, let's go to Exodus chapter 9. And Joe, if you can pray for us, and we'll get into it.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be able to open your word. And as we study the history of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, we ask that you would give us soft hearts to receive your Holy Spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Jemima, we're in chapter 9 of Exodus, verses 29 through, 35.
Okay. Exodus chapter 9, verse 29. So Moses said to him, "As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God." Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord has spoken to Moses.
All right, very good. Felicia, if you can help us, maybe some people are onboarding right now. What?
No. I was just thinking about the topic.
Oh, okay.
Pharaoh hardening, so I'm anticipating. All right.
I'm like, I look over at her and she's like grinning at me. You're like, what's going on?
I'm just excited.
Oh, very good. Cool. Can you give us, for some people who may be onboarding right now, maybe this is their first episode watching, or this is their first episode on Exodus, and just kind of fly high and from episode 1 to episode, we're on what, week 6 here?
Yeah.
Where have we been and where are we going?
Oh man, the challenge. All right. So we have slaves in Egypt. We have a Pharaoh who commands the baby boys be killed, but we have this one baby boy who is saved in the Seam River that's killing a lot of the baby boys. Mm-hmm. And then we have this baby boy who grows up and he encounters God, but God appears in a bush that's on fire. And God tells this man who can hardly speak very well, "Go and set my people free."
Yeah.
And this man who is a shepherd who cannot speak well goes into Pharaoh with his brother who is a slave and just tells the most powerful man in the world to let my people go. And this Pharaoh is like, "You all have a lot of time on your hands, so you all need to work even more." And so God says, "Listen, I'm going to send these plagues so that you will know that I am the Lord." Mm. And now we have, am I doing a good job?
Yeah,
so far?
Wow.
So now we have this part that is so confusing for a lot of Christians.
Yes.
And it's also an argument for those who are not Christians. How do you have this God who is supposedly so good and trying to save people, hardening a man's heart so that it seems as if he doesn't even have the choice to repent, even if he wanted to, and God is still judging him. And that's where we are.
Wow. That's
excellent.
Flew through that.
Wow. That we need to take notes on what you just did there. That's great. That's like a movie trailer. I want to for Exodus. You did conclude on a very solid point that this is a theological hurdle for a lot of people. Whether they're theologically bent or not, people deal with theology on a daily basis. And God, this is the phrase, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yeah. What is the deal with that? And we have a whole episode just dedicated to that.
Yeah.
We see here in verse 34, when Pharaoh saw the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he didn't repent,
right.
But he sinned yet more. Mm-hmm. He hardened his heart. He is servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Let's juice that out a bit.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on there? Let's answer this first question. How do we respond to people who say, does God allow? Well, let's do this. Let's even do it even more systematic. Does God harden hearts? Jemima. You think about that, and Joe will respond.
Oh yeah. So the text, there's more than one phrase. So The Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart.
Yes.
Pharaoh's heart is hardened.
Mm-hmm. In the passive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh hardens his heart.
In the active,
both. So it states both that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Mm-hmm. So there's multiple things going on that we have to parse out.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just take the Lord hardening Pharaoh's heart first.
Okay.
When the Holy Spirit comes on a person, the person cannot remain the same.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, God revealing himself, is going to change the person. Mm-hmm. But the person is going to decide which way they go. Mm-hmm. You know, hasn't it been said before that the sun, you know, it melts ice and it hardens brick mm-hmm. or hardens clay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same sun hardening one and melting the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so as God reveals himself to Pharaoh, mm-hmm. it's changing Pharaoh
mm-hmm.
and it is hardening his heart. It could soften his heart, but it is hardening his heart.
Yeah. And I would just add to that, because that's the classic anecdote. I always heard it as butter and clay, mm-hmm. But same principle. But there's Jemima and I were talking about this before this episode at the header, is that predestination is another word. And I know, please don't roll your eyes. And people think predestination, they think of theology, they think of Augustine, they think of like medieval, whatever, whatever. But it is a concept that we need to struggle with, in the sense is that, does God control everything? And then if God controls everything, then are our decisions, even choices, them to begin? Do we even have free will in all this? Mm-hmm. And if we use the anecdote, then saying, hey, God made some people to be butter, some to be clay, and that God's just going to be who he is, and some people are lost and some people are saved. So I'm just saying that's the counter to that, mm-hmm. right? How do we reconcile that, Felicia?
So for me, when I was wrestling with this, I'm not going to have a direct response in terms of hardening, but something that helped me to reconcile this is when we are seeking to understand the way that God moves or why he does something, we have to ask ourselves, am I seeking to understand so that I can believe God or am I going to believe God in order to understand, right? Because there are going to be things that we're going to grapple with as Christians, as believers, that we will not be able to understand. And if we don't understand it, will it shake our faith or will we still believe God? Mm-hmm. So we see a story of Jeremiah, for instance, where God tells Jeremiah, go purchase a piece of land. But this was right after God told Jeremiah that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Before Jeremiah even understands what God is going to do, Jeremiah acts on it. He obeys. And after he obeys, then he says, God, I have no idea what you're telling me to do. Can you explain this to me? So I think that's a good foundation to start with when we are discussing God hardening Pharaoh's heart. God knew that Pharaoh would harden his heart. It's that we will believe God, we choose to follow him, we choose to believe that he is good, even though we don't understand that his actions in this moment doesn't match with what we think is good. So that has helped give me peace, a lot of peace, even as I'm still trying to unravel God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Mm-hmm. That was one thought I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Jemima?
One thought that I do have, or one verse that I always remember, is 2 Peter.
Whoa, 2 Peter on the other side of the Bible.
3 verse 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. And it says...
Hold up. Yeah. Give us a, okay.
You got it?
Yep.
All right. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance." Hmm. And I see this in the plagues that God sent to Pharaoh. Hmm. I'm thinking, if I was in God's seat and I sent my servants and they said, "Hey, you know, let my people go." And Pharaoh's like, "Who is the Jemima and why would I?" I'm like, gone. Like, let's invade. Let's get rid of him. But you see God trying over and over and over again to reach Pharaoh's heart. Hmm. And he's trying to soften it. But it seems that with every attempt, Pharaoh just turns and he closes his heart to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so therefore he reaches a point where God's pleas are not heard anymore. But this verse gives me a lot of comfort that God is willing that all, mm-hmm. including Pharaoh, mm-hmm. God wants Pharaoh's soul. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to do anything to get him to mm-hmm. Repent.
Mm-hmm. This is key. Not mm-hmm. willing that any mm-hmm. should perish. You know, yeah. The root word of willing is will. Mm-hmm. Is it God's will that anybody be lost?
Mm-hmm. No.
That's a key question. Mm-hmm. According to some people's theology, God determines ahead of time that it is his will that some people be lost and some people be saved. Mm-hmm. God's will, his mm-hmm. desire, is that all men be saved, all mm-hmm. men and women be mm-hmm. saved, all people be saved. And so that's a key distinction.
Yeah, and Joe, I love what you're going where you're going with this conversation. This is where theology is important. I think people roll their eyes with theology, but it's often when you see a board game and you see dice and little, you know, what are they called? Little characters, whatever. Yeah. You want to play and you want to engage in that. But if you don't know the rules by which you play, then mm-hmm. you can't really play the game.
Yeah.
And then I remember when my youngest son, like, he'd see a board game and you're like, "Oh, I want to play." And he's playing, but he's playing the game the way he wants to. And then my older one, who's playing the game that the way that it should be.
Yeah.
And it just makes more sense. The way he's playing it, the younger one's getting frustrated, and this doesn't make sense. And why is this piece here? It's like, because you're not following the rules. Mm-hmm. So often what we do in theology is to talk about when the Bible's talking about a certain way, what meaning is attached to that and the order of it. Not that theology interprets the Bible, but it allows how to actually engage with the pieces of the yeah. Bible. Mm-hmm. So Joe, you brought this, I use this phrase. There was a popular TV show a long time ago called Will and Grace. Not popular, don't recommend the show, but it illustrates a 2,000-year-old theological question. Mm. What's more powerful, God's grace or free will? Mm. And because how you answer this question will actually determine all the myriads of denominations we have out there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think denominations happen because two people fought, they couldn't get yeah. together. You're playing by different rules.
Yeah.
You may have Monopoly cash in the same pieces, but you're playing two different fundamental games. And so in Christianity, you have one that's reading the same text, but they see that God's grace is much more powerful than free choice. Mm-hmm. So some people are saved, some people are not, and you have no choice. And God caused this to happen.
Yeah.
And there's others of the what we call the Wesleyan tradition or the Arminian tradition or the free will tradition. And there's a lot of denominations. And it gets more complicated than this, but they believe that even though God desires, as Jemima, the verse that you read, God desires all to be saved. That's his original presuppositional mm-hmm. desire. Human beings still have the choice
yes.
to accept that or to reject that.
Yeah.
And God, out of his love, honors that. And I think scripture, and this is my persuasion, it follows that model more rather than God predestinating yeah. without free choice. Mm-hmm. God predestines with free choice in mind. Mm-hmm. And that will actually wins above grace.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, something else we can consider is, I guess it's more of a question. Could it be that the hardening of Pharaoh's heart is a form of judgment that's also coming on him? The reason why I ask this is, you know, when the children of Israel, God prophesied through Isaiah, make the heart of this people fat, that they will not be able to understand, make them blind, that they will not see. But that was only because they kept rejecting God to the point that a judgment that sort of came on them was that even when truth was presented to them, they would not be able to understand? Mm-hmm. Could it have been that God had been trying to reach out to Pharaoh to persuade him, to get him to repent, and constantly rejecting God brought him to a place where a judgment is on him, where he can no longer come to that point, almost like grieving the Holy Spirit. When you reject the Holy Spirit so much, you come to a point where every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, your heart actually gets even more hard. Mm. In 1 Peter 3, verse 7, it talks about husbands and wives, but it talks specifically about husbands, how they ought to treat their wives so that their prayers will not be hindered. Mm. And we see repeatedly throughout the Bible where when a person continues to live in sin and you fight against God, even if you are praying, your prayers become an abomination. Mm-hmm. I cannot think of a scarier position to be in, where you are praying to God and your very prayer becomes sin. But that's because you spent your life resisting God. Mm. And so I think it's important, I guess I'm answering my own question. It's important for us, even in the small things, when God tells you to do something, do not delay. Mm. Act quickly. Move on what he says, because the next time he speaks to you and you resist that, you may come to a point where your heart is so hard against him that every time he speaks to you, him even speaking to you hardens your heart.
Yeah.
That's a thought. Mm. Answer my question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Justin is in thought.
No. As you were talking, I was thinking of, is it not just only God speaking, but is it that some people's hearts are so, you know, whatever condition they're, sinful, mangled, you know, selfish, whatever, so damaged, is that no matter how much love you give them, it hardens it even more. Yeah. It becomes even self-protective and more that mm-hmm. some people love doesn't penetrate through them. Mm-hmm. It's a sad state.
It's a
worse condition. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Joe?
I just feel convicted, compelled, listening, you know, that every day we have that opportunity, our heart is either becoming softer or harder.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the little choices all along the way, right?
Small things.
We're not just talking about one big choice in life, but it's those little steps all along the way, moving us one direction or the other. And so in some sense, the story of Pharaoh, we all get to go through that and decide if we're going to become hard like he did or if we will yield and soften our hearts.
Yeah,
right. And it reminds me of the consequences on the other side when we don't yield to God. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see it in the story of the children of Israel, where God intended for them to have an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Mm-hmm. But because they would not heed to God's prompting, they would not listen to God's voice, they ended up spending 40 years before they got to their destination. And essentially, I'm thinking like, back to 2 Peter, God is like, I don't want you to suffer more than you have to. Yeah. You know, my plan for you is good. I want you to have the easiest way forward to achieve what I have for you. But we do have free will. And sometimes we end up suffering unnecessarily when that's not what God wants.
I mean, that's a great point. I mean, we're picking on Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's heart got hard, Pharaoh's heart. But the Israelites' hearts were hardened all throughout. God's people's hearts were hardened all throughout. Question is maybe to rephrase it, is who's doing the hardening? Where's the active?
I think it's Pharaoh. I would lean on Pharaoh. It sort of reminds me of the presence of God, right? When we think of the presence of God, it's good, but it's good only to certain people in terms of if your heart is in Christ, the presence of God is good. If you reject the Lord, the presence of God, his light becomes very dangerous. Mm-hmm. It can kill you.
And with a corollary on that, is it in God's mercy, does he actually withhold himself sometimes to make sure it doesn't get hardened even further?
I think so. For example, even in him sending Jesus, right? Like he veils himself with Moses. We see him putting Moses in the cleft of the rock. He says, no man may see my face and die, but I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand. I will pass by. You will see my back and I will declare my glory. But it's the sin in us. And when we choose to reject God, that in us makes the glory of God dangerous to us, and it ends up destroying us.
Mm-hmm.
So I I think that when we cherish and coddle sin and we resist God, His word, reading the Bible, and we do not humble ourselves, every time we reread it, it contributes to the hardening because we keep holding on to the sin. So it's not that God's presence is bad. It's not God speaking to us is bad. It's us recognizing how dangerous, how very dangerous sin is. Mm-hmm. And so Pharaoh, in continually lifting up himself as God, in demanding worship, in his cruelty and barbarity toward the children of Israel, has gotten to a point that every time God speaks to him, he's being hardened. But that's not, it's not like Pharaoh was this good guy. He's like, God, I really want to serve you. And God is like, no, I'm going to make your heart hard so that you can't even repent.
Which makes me think that God warns in scripture that the most dangerous people are not people who don't believe in him. It's people who are very familiar with him, who create churches, who use scripture, but their hearts are very hardened.
Scripture says that. It's better that they had not known than they knew and then turned back.
Like counterfeit religion. So religion is not umbrella bad, but God warns against counterfeit religion, especially in the last days. Who use all the nomenclature and the vocabulary and all the of all the form of spirituality, but yet they have no liking to godliness in any way.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that's why I was my reflection in hearing you your comment.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe.
It's gonna happen again.
It's gonna happen again.
I mean, there's
Pharaoh's gonna again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's seven last plagues in Revelation, and also in the seven last plagues of Revelation. There's commentary on the condition of people's heart. They refuse to repent.
Yeah, that's right.
Revelation 16. That's right. And so this story is going to be repeated on kind of a global scale.
Yeah.
Right before Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
And
great. Hey, so let me ask you this. Practically, what should Pharaoh have done to not have his heart hardened?
Oh, that's a good one.
And I guess the question is like in our day, let us not be arrogant thing like, oh, well, our hearts are soft. So what should we all do to make sure that we're not in Pharaoh's? I think the point is let's not be where Pharaoh's at. I think we can conclude on that. Well, what can we do to make sure? Because sometimes you said we can read more scripture, we can pray more. Yeah. And sometimes that will get worse.
Just makes it worse.
So how do we not make sure that happens?
I wonder if, you know, where the story of Exodus starts off, you know, the children of Israel, they're in Egypt, and it says there came up a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph and forgot all of the good things that Joseph did. And then that led into him seeing God's people as a threat or as slaves and so forth. So maybe it starts off with us forgetting what God did for us in not being intentional in praising God and offering thanksgiving when he has answered a prayer. Because it's so easy, even in my life, we pray, we ask the Lord to answer a prayer, he does it, and then we just move on, like nothing happened. We don't write it down, we don't set up an Ebenezer to remember what God did. And so we get to a point where we forget his acts, we forget how he's moving in our lives, and we end up forgetting who he is. We also see this happen in the book of Joshua, where it says that Joshua died off and all that generation died. And then there arose a generation who did not know the Lord because they forgot everything that he did. So maybe it starts in the small things of being very intentional. When you see God move in your life, when you see him move in the lives of other people, write it down, praise the Lord, be intentional in remembering what he has done so that you don't end up getting to a point where you forget Joseph.
I would actually suggest that we actually start off with a heart of stone, because you see constantly God saying, I will give you a heart of flesh, right? And then when you look in Revelation 3:19, It talks about, like, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore repent, be zealous and repent. And then Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, so God is constantly knocking on our hearts, right? And we have this free will to open the door and allow Jesus into our hearts so that he may come, dine and sup with us and even change our hearts. So if we're looking at Pharaoh, Pharaoh had a responsibility to open his heart. You know, instead of asking, who is the God of Israel that I may obey him? He should have been, well, tell me more. Like, what does this look like? And even with each plague that came, that was God reaching his heart, you know, trying to change it to a heart of flesh.
So we have remember, if we just remember. And then from your, my takeaway is one, it's God who can actually change from stone to flesh.
Yes.
It's supernatural. And then three is to repent. Repent is very a religious word, right? So what is repent? They repented not. Does that mean we just got to get on our knees and just start crying and hitting the floor? Like, what? How, for people who don't know what that means, how can we parse that a little bit more accessibly? What is it to repent?
Joe, you're turn around.
Turn around.
Yeah.
Physically turn around, go the other way.
And mentally, spiritually, in every way, going the other way.
Meaning, Lord, I am not content in my current direction. I want to stop and I want you to reroute me in the way that I should go.
And I think that's what Pharaoh, I can put it in one word. For him, what he should have done, he should have obeyed. And I think listening to Felicia, that our hearts actually become hard when we hear the word, but we don't obey. So if we're just listening, we could be binging on Inverse, going all through the books of the Bible, but we're not putting it into action. Our heart is actually becoming harder because we're getting more into the groove of, well, I listened, but it doesn't mean anything. So in that sense, it's a real danger for Christians, just going to Egyptians church over there. But right here, I can become hard of heart in church.
And not even know about it.
Not even realize it.
Surrounded in all the religious garb that we're
hearers of the word and not doers of the word. That's really dangerous. Just quick on repentance. I remember when the Lord began to convict me about self-righteousness. It wasn't just saying, Lord, I'm so sorry, but it's truly allowing the Lord to change my mind and to turn away from that and choosing to live by God's way and not my own.
Sometimes there are things that get into my brain and I just can't get over it. I just, Lord, there's this thing and I can't get over it. And until you resolve this for me, I'm stuck. And those are moments where, like, Lord, this thing that I have, I give it to you. You got to deal with it. Whether it's an intellectual barrier, whether it's an emotional barrier, psychological, social, spiritual, whether it's that person in that pew next to you that you just don't like, whatever it may be, you give that to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to remember how good you've been. Help me to supernaturally change my heart of stone into heart of flesh. And Lord, give me the gift of repentance. I think the sober reality is that we are all pharaohs here. And like Joe said, Lord, I don't want to be a pharaoh. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I just want to be a sheep like Jesus, the Father Shepherd. And that's my prayer. Hopefully that's all of yours out there. Stay with us as we look at continually the book of Exodus here on Inverse. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.